Once again, welcome to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Right from the get-go, we tee it up with a former congressman from Ohio, Bob Ney. Now, he's one of Ellen Ratner's posse. He's with Talk Radio News. And as he said just before we jumped on here, it really is a cornucopia of news coming out of Washington, D.C. The thing that we keep talking about, of course, is the fiscal cliff. And what are the talks like, or are there really going to be talks, and who's doing what at this point, and what about the debt limit, throw that into the middle of it. So, Bob, I guess that's where we'll start with the so-called fiscal cliff. What's the latest? Because every day it just takes on sort of new life.
It morphs to new life. And I don't want to make a big deal about this, but it is on civility. Speaker Boehner did not have his picture taken with the president, which they offered at the White House Christmas deal. Now, that might seem trite for me to even raise that issue, but I think it's indicative of D.C. I mean, you know, let's be a little civil to each other. Maybe we can get somewhere. But it's got to that strained point. Boehner, with the Republicans, is having the worst time, I think, because some members of his were booted off committees. The Tea Party says he's seeking revenge. A lot of internal fractions in between. The president, you know, is outreaching, and Boehner to an extent is. However, this whole new talk of the debt ceiling and altering all of that, President Obama simply can't accept that. I mean, that's, you know, we've raised the debt ceiling and did it without a whimper in the past. So that's a brand new part of the equation. Every day there's a new mix. We're no further in D.C. than they were a week ago.
Yeah. Yeah, 12 times the debt ceiling's been raised since 2001. Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, crazy.
I put it on it 6 times. And again, it was one of those, oh, ho-hum, raise the debt ceiling, go to dinner.
Go to dinner. I like that. Does anyone have a table at Ebbets Grill this time around?
Well, all the signatures with Jack Abramoff's gone, so they can't go there.
Good for you. I love how you joke about that. Let's talk about, no joke, though, what's happening to the military budget. I bet you Leon Panetta is about to have a heart attack with some of the things that are going down, because the president is also saying there could be billions of dollars also wiped away in military cuts on top of already the $500 billion that the White House and Congress backed last year. So what's the story on that?
Well, you know, there is a concern. Of course, defense contractors will say one thing, but when I think when it comes from Liam Panetta, he has a lot of credibility, then it needs to be paid attention to. And these are cuts heaped upon cuts. So, you know, this thing is real. You know, they're going to have to punt parts of it, I understand, down the road. But it's a serious situation, especially, you know, also in the areas of defense. And, you know, they're just going to have to keep working at it. But the days are passing, and it doesn't get any closer.
Yeah. The thing that popped up on my radar really actually a couple of days ago, and we've talked about this a bunch of different times, and the Keystone Pipeline and the environmentalists who were parading around outside of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, and then the president's, you know, pulling back on the Keystone Pipeline and what was going to happen there. Now you have the American Petroleum people, the American Petroleum Institute, pushing and saying, look, we need this to be a project green light as soon as possible. Do you think the president is going to green light that anytime soon?
Well, you know, they revived it after they went around the sensitive lands in Nebraska. You know, it didn't have the edge, quote, that the people had originally, but it still has problems. I'm not sure the president's going to green light it, but I've got to tell you, the American Petroleum Institute doesn't generate this without some type of belief that they can put this out front and get the president to do something. So I think it's a battle that's right around the corner.
Yeah, I agree with you. We did a thing on our show the other night. We played I Am Woman. You know that song, Helen Reddy? And we played that because there's some interesting things that are popping up on the radar politically with a few females that don't necessarily fit the mold of a politician. Like Ashley Judd, the actress, has talked several times about possibly getting involved in politics. And apparently she's a lot more serious about going after Mitch McConnell's seat in 2 years. You think she has any crack at that, being a liberal actress?
I'm a country fan, and, you know, she's not viewed as, she's just viewed, I think, as a very practical person. So I would be very leery if she was running against me if I was Mitch McConnell. I think she's a serious run, not just while it's an actress. I think, you know, she's a country folk, fits in, obviously, with the state. I think she's a serious challenge.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I said that, you know, she goes to the UK games, the basketball games, and she just fits right in the crowd. And she has done some things in Washington. She has testified before. She's pushed for different things to happen in front of committees, so she gets that. And I think it'll be interesting to see what happens if she really does pursue that. But that's down the lane. In the meantime, Anna Wintour, the woman behind Vogue and the woman that The Devil Wears Prada was based on, might become an ambassador to the UK or France. Who decides these things?
Well, this is the White House. The White House will decide this. Roger Ailes has decided that Rose is not going to be on TV anymore without his permission. So I don't know. Let's see what happens. Maybe Carl can go work for her in France, let's say.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, it's really. And then there's Hillary Clinton. Michael Bloomberg, the mayor, is because he can't push to run again after he got everyone to give him the third term as mayor of New York. He wants Hillary in bad. I heard he's just jonesing for her to get in there. He's telling everyone he knows. I mean, it's broken in the media now, but before that we knew that he was pushing Hillary Clinton. Will she really, Bob, want to be the mayor of New York? She looks so tired. She's traveling with serious bags under her eyes now.
Well, you know, she's done a great job as Secretary of State. I would be one who would say she has to decide whether she wants to run for president first. And if not, she could run for mayor of New York.
Could she, if she decides, okay, so if she were to really seriously consider a presidential run, would she be electable at almost 70?
You know, I think so. I really do. And you look at the popularity of Bill Clinton. She's done a great job as Secretary of State. And people have just not, you know, nipped at her over being Secretary of State. And I think, you know, if she maybe roughs up a little bit in between, she might be able to make a run at it.
All right. How about internationally, the guy that we backed, or the U.S. is accepting anyway, he brokered that semi-peace accord with the Gaza Strip and Israel, Egyptian President Mohamed Morsi returning to the palace after these wild protests where he had to just get out of the way of it. So all of a sudden, there's no love for Morsi. Do you think he's going to withstand the heat that he's generating from his own people?
But, you know, he came in and he deposed this hardliner Mubarak, and then he says, well, I've got to get the hardliners out of the government, so I'm going to become a hardliner. You know, sometimes does it not seem that, you know, one thug is replaced by another? I think at a point in time, the Egyptian military is going to get very, very tired. So he's just way overstepped his bounds. He's a liberator, but he's turned into this, you know, a dictator of type, and he's just got to come to his senses, or I don't think he'll be there.
Yeah. Yep, I agree. One last one, shocking, and I actually talked about this with Ellen the other day, the Senate voting against ratification of the United Nations Treaty, and of course that was opposed by conservatives, and so what happens? That would have, what, codified international standards for the Treaty of Disabled People? How did this crash?
Yeah, I mean, they had Bob Dole. Bob Dole came in a wheelchair, got out of the hospital, came in a wheelchair supporting it, and they didn't support it. Look, I understand some of the issues, sovereignty, United Nations, but we are way ahead of the world on this. Nobody's going to be able to hurt us over trying to impose something on. We already lead the world in this. We have a chance to help the world come up to speed with us, and I don't understand this one. They had wiggle room on this one. This was just not well thought out.
Yeah, I think so, too. Bob Ney, thank you very much. We'll talk to you again. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
As many people know, ever since President Nixon took us off the gold standard, the U.S. dollar has been devaluing. What people don't know, however, is how this directly affects your personal finances. Is there a way to protect your portfolios from losing value? The answer to all of this is gold and silver. They both have maintained their purchasing power for 6,000 years. If you had $100,000 in cash and $100,000 in gold and silver back in 1913 and kept them until now, your cash would have the buying power of only $4,800, but your gold and silver would have the buying power of $3 million. The answer to protecting your assets is simple. Call John Ballman today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Get all your questions answered before your money is worth a zero. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Take action today while we still accept paper dollars for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 169.
Check out StunGunMics.com. They specialize in home and business security, family safety, and personal protection. At StunGunMics.com, they have everything from mace pepper sprayers to cell phone stun guns and everything in between. Visit www.StunGunMics.com for all your security needs. We even ship your products the very next day. That's www.StunGunMics.com for real spy gear, real security, and awesome gadgets.
Are you looking for a great one-of-a-kind gift idea? Then look no further than www.dapgadgets.com. They have radio-controlled planes, helicopters, buggies, cars, and more. How about an insane horsehead pillowcase, MP3 accessories, or even an iPhone 5 wallet case? Visit www.dapgadgets.com and be sure to check out their featured gadgets page. Shipping is only $9.99 and is shipped within 7 days or less. Check out www.daftgadgets.com today.
Congressman from Ohio got pinched in the Abramoff scandal. Remember Jack Abramoff? Quickly as a side note here, and we'll talk further to Bob about this because he's writing a book and including a heavy chapter on that since he did some jail time. But Jack Abramoff and Tom DeLay were big Washington names back in the day, not too long ago. And the reason why is because Abramoff was one of D.C.'s most infamous lobbyists. He had massive power. And DeLay, of course, was the former House Majority Leader. And they, let's just say they had a friendship that kind of extended beyond the bounds. And Abramoff served 3.5 years in prison for corruption, including the bribing of public officials. Bob Ney was one of those people. The congressman was one of those, the former congressman was one of those people. And, now he's bounced back since then, and like I said, he's writing a book about that. And obviously, he's covering Washington and now using some of the sources he had, as he was somebody who spent a good deal of time dealing with legislation and got involved in the Abramoff dealings. And he was one of the few that went down because, you know, there was that back and forth about the money trail. And DeLay was on a trip to Scotland, a golf trip that Bob Ney was a part of, and that was what many people thought would bring DeLay down, but he never fell for, he never ended up doing any jail time or even was nailed at all in the Abramoff scandal. He was only mentioned a ton of times, but never was brought down. All right, so moving along to politicians of today. It's all about the tax rate. It's all about this whole fiscal cliff thing and how sick you are of it and how sick I am of it and all this other stuff. But what does it ultimately mean? Where does it lead as far as what your taxes will do? And that's the key thing. You know, we always say the election was about what's in your wallet. the what happens in your neighborhood, what's going on with your family, what's going on with you if you're single, doesn't matter, whatever your personal situation is. You know, all politics are about you and about me because we're the taxpayers. And if we don't pay attention and we don't know where things are going on, or where things are headed, rather, in the U.S., when it comes to taxes, when it comes to the deficit, when it comes to Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid, all the stuff that affects every single one of us, no matter where you are financially, it affects you in some way. Whether we're talking about, not necessarily a positive way, but whether we're talking about you own a company and you're trimming people because you can no longer afford it, or whether or not you're somebody who has a bunch of kids and you can no longer afford the insurance, you can no longer afford the house that you're in because of the taxes. And this all plays into it, and this is why, as much as we all, and I'm definitely at that point where I'm sick of the cliff and I just want to just dive off the cliff and say, okay, we're done with this. Let's just get to the punchline here. The White House is pushing that the middle class is going to get dumped on here more than anybody else. And the president is preparing for the possibility that the talks are going to fail and it'll trigger those automatic cuts to the defense programs and to some of the domestic programs that they're trying to avoid at this point and didn't think would actually, I believe, really, really kick in. So you have Tiny Tim Geithner, the Secretary of the Treasury, who is saying that the White House will go off the cliff. He has been there every single day. He is absolutely privy to whatever is going on in the Oval Office when it comes to the money side of things. And he flat out has said, if we have to go off the cliff, we're going to do it because we will not we're not going to agree. If the Republicans don't agree to raise taxes on the wealthy, we're going to do it. We're not going to accept anything less. And that's it. End of story. Line in the sand. We're not going over this line in the sand. Is this a big mistake? Or is this the right way to go? And Geithner says, look, we're trying to put in place a comprehensive, balanced set of fiscal reforms. This is his words. That's why I'm reading it exactly. A balanced set of fiscal reforms that put us back on the path of living within our means. And he says the size of the problem in some sense is so large it can't be solved without rates going up. Well, no kidding, because guys like Tim Geithner were eating the middle class when he was at Goldman Sachs. So sure, he's lived high off the hog. It doesn't matter if you got to make the taxes go up, you got to make the rates go up. It doesn't matter to me because I already have all my money stored away. I was one of the Goldman guys, just like Hank Paulson was when he had the job before as the Treasury Secretary. He was part of that Goldman gang, too. So as much as the president tries to supposedly distance himself from the whole, you know, the wealthy have to be taxed, half the people surrounding him are those people who have already feasted. It's so easy when you have sat at the big table and you have feasted on huge bonuses and huge amounts of money for a decade. Or for decades, to then go and decide, oh, I'm going to do some public service. I'm going to work for this country. I'm going to be a member of the cabinet because I have a financial background. And I'm saying that this is the thing. Tim Geithner can say that, but all politics are personal. In a roundabout way, I guess that's what I'm getting to. All politics are personal, and personally, he has profited just as so many others have off of Wall Street. And so it's easy to shift that and get a little angry and start to sling some mud and say, hey, the rates are going up. It's part of the deal. And there's been some progress. But everybody's got to be involved here. Everybody has got to take a bullet, so to speak, for this. Of course, because he's already sitting on a whole load of cash. A whole bunch of cash. Nobody's budging, though. McConnell, Mitch McConnell says, you know, let's vote on Obama's fiscal cliff plan. And, of course, the Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid objects to that. And ultimately, when the numbers are crunched, and that's what a lot of people are starting to see, when you look at tax rates and what's going to happen to tax rates, and even in local and state coffers, then you combine that with what's happening nationally, and my goodness, I hope that people have a chunk of money in savings because they're going to need to drain their savings. I'm no economist, but I have plenty of friends who are very good at crunching the numbers. And by the way, they come from the right and they come from the left. And they're not looking at it from that perspective. They're looking at other things that are happening that are just going to be so crippling to so many people. They're going to have to borrow money just to pay their taxes. Can you imagine? Have you ever done that? Borrowed money because you had good credit so you could pay taxes, figuring instead you would eat it on the other side? Yeah, that just might be what happens for a few. But the rates, the interest rates on that will be astronomical. Astronomical. And in all the 50 states, I just saw this, what's going to happen with the tax rates, income tax rates for so many, they're going to pay a crazy amount of money. California will have the highest, about 52%. 52%, that would be their tax rate. Whew. That is insane. How do you pay that? You think of what comes out of checks with you think of everything combined, like I was saying, property taxes, sales tax, then you look at state income tax, federal taxes, and think about this. This is why, to me, a fair tax or a flat tax is so much better than all these shenanigans could be pushed aside, because it would be fair across the board, no matter what the level was. So the idea of, hey, let's just flush the rich, oh no, it's going to be across the board without a doubt. Perhaps you've come up with an incredible solution, or maybe you're like me and you say, let's go for the fair or the flat tax. 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, tow line, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at Terraganics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
Chief, it's interesting that when I brought up to Bob at the top of the show what some of the women were doing as far as possible political appointments, for example, an ambassadorship for the editor of Vogue and an actress interested in becoming a senator from Kentucky, and Hillary Clinton, everybody's always speculating on what her next move will be. And here she comes out of being a popular Secretary of State, and you would think that she would be done. It seems to me that she's done with politics. I can't imagine that she wants to stay in this game. But apparently enough people are talking about Hillary Clinton in 2016. You know, they just did a poll, 57% in the latest ABC News Washington Post poll are saying, folks, seriously, are you listening to me, right? Say that they would vote for Hillary Clinton. So she says goodbye to Secretary of State, and I thought she was headed for retirement. Enough people are talking about the possibility that this thing may actually have legs. I mean, we're headed into 2013, and for goodness sake, when you run for president, it takes 3.5 years anyway, doesn't it? Don't we start talking about the next group of people that are running at least 3 years before they can even run? So I guess that even some Republicans have warmed up to Clinton. So to succeed Barack Obama, 57%, and this is one poll, say that they like the idea, 37% opposed. How about that? And I know that you're not surprised by this, but 66% of the support for Clinton was among women. When it was men that were asked the question, that went to 49%. I mean, look, she lost to Obama the nomination in 2008, and I figured that was it. So this is a farewell for her. And especially, you know, you look at age, and people talk about the age of John McCain when he was running. So would they really elect a Hillary Clinton that would be almost 70 years old? I mean, maybe. I'm just throwing it out there. Would people jump across the side, you know, over the aisle and the independents, would they go for Hillary Clinton? Would she really have a strong chance the second time around? And see, the thing is, she would have to be visible. I think you have to be visible. You don't just come out of the shadows. Yes, people know who she is, but I don't think you bounce back and disappear for 4 years and occasionally comment about things that are happening when you're asked about, you know, what you did in the administration or whatever, or you pop up in a magazine article or occasionally on a network interview. I don't think that's enough to breathe life into a candidate, especially in the world we live in now where everything is processed in nanoseconds. And politics are very comparative. So if you think about this, support for Hillary Clinton as a candidate would certainly depend upon who's opposing her, who's the opponent likely to be among the Democrats, and let's just say, to take it a step further, who would the Republicans be? Even if you were to boil this down to, okay, she gets this, the Democrats, you know, push her up, she's the nominee. Well, who are the Republicans going to put out there to go against Hillary Clinton? So you got to think about that. Would the Republicans this next time around, with the Chris Christies, the Bobby Jindals, the some of the other people like Marco Rubio, the senator from Florida that's talked about, and there's really a slew of people on the bench, and actually the bench is kind of deep. Would the Republicans want to let this go another time to a Democrat? I think they're going to come back in a very, very strong way once they figure out how to get a really solid ground game going on and to woo women who apparently they've, a lot of the women that they've lost, and also to be more attentive to the Hispanic vote, which will be 14% this time around. It'll be actually even a little bit higher the next time around. And I guarantee that'll happen. I don't see the Republicans looking to put another candidate like a Mitt Romney back front and center. I think that this, with the bench that's there, in other words, they'll dig deep enough that somebody else will be able to try to grab the brass ring and hear that song we just played, Hail to the Chief. But hey, Clinton has high popularity. She definitely has some broad appeal, if you will. And the Republicans, some Republicans give her a lot of cred. So maybe she has a shot at making history. I just don't see it. If she completely drops out of sight, I don't see how you revive that and push 4 years later. I think it'd be too tough with how fast things move. All right, speaking of moving fast, I know I'm kind of jumping all over the place, and this is what we do. It's kind of a free-for-all Wednesday. So, you know, it's like spaghetti night. We had spaghetti for dinner. It was in the fridge. So we're throwing the spaghetti against the wall and giving you a chance to vent. You know, any thoughts on the fiscal cliff? I said this was it. This was the week where you pick a side, you decide what you want to be. Are you the hostage? Are you the hostage or are you the hostage taker? Which are you? And that's pretty much the way it is in Washington. The Democrats are saying that they're being held hostage by the Republicans, and the Republicans say they won't be held hostage by the Democrats. It's very confusing, isn't it? 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. And a big reminder that, yes, it's spaghetti night, but it's also the night where we do Nail the Score. So coming up in our third hour, you have a chance to nail the score. So if you have one eye open, take a little cat nap and rejoin. And what happens is our super, super, super computer will pick the game of the week. Once the game of the week is chosen, you call in, you tell us who you think is going to win of the two teams and what you think the final score is going to be. The Subway Pusher is still making big news. I happened today to be listening to a couple of different talk shows across the country. I was just curious if people were, you know, focusing in at all on what happened in this subway station. And when people that don't like New York hear things like that, it makes them not like New York even more, saying, yeah, look what happens. Somebody goes down into the subway and gets shoved in front of a train, and somebody else who's a freelance photographer decides to take the guy's picture versus trying to help him and watches as he is crushed to death by an oncoming train. And then what about the other people that were there at the subway station? It's a very, very crowded area. And the image of the 58-year-old man just paralyzed as he's watching the train come toward him with a headline reading doomed is just unbelievable. So now people, at least in New York, are starting to question the judgment of the newspaper by writing those headlines and actually deciding to run that picture. Do you blame the newspaper for doing that? I mean, newspapers are in so much trouble. They're trying to grasp at anything they can. And the New York Post, because of the commuters that come in and the 8 million people that live in this city, that's the kind of paper people pick up, and it's like pop culture paper. They read little snippets, like the USA Today when folks are getting on planes. So the newspaper talked about the photographer who snapped the photograph instead of helping the guy who was trying to get onto the platform after he was pushed off. You know, so he's claiming, the photographer who's now, people are trying to hunt him down, he's claiming that he was trying to warn the subway conductor by using his camera's flash. I'm saying that's a tall tale. If he came up with it, okay, but I don't think so. I think that he was definitely trying to get that photo. So you got these other bystanders that are there. Did everybody do everything they could to try to save the guy? Did everybody try to do that? Or did they just kind of reel back in horror at what was happening? So I would say the Post is ticky-tacky for running the photo, but it's a free press, and we like having the free press. So sometimes things that we would question that we think are a little over the line just might make it onto the cover. And it did make it onto the cover. But to me, more than the shocking cover is the photographer's lack of ethics, where it's like, dog eat dog. Hey, I'm going to get this. This is our culture. It's all about that 15 minutes or getting the money shot. So I'm going to get the money shot. Sorry, dude. You fell over or you were pushed over, and I just happened to be here, and geez, if I could help you, be terrific, but I got to focus on what I'm doing, and I'm focusing my lens on you, so I'm so sorry, but I can't really have to get a good grasp on you. I'm gonna try, sort of, but as long as it doesn't get in the way of my picture, and to me, that just seems bad karma. I mean, it's kind of nasty, just a bad juju.
wants to be disease-free, full of energy, and vibrant health. Two reasons you may feel constantly tired and run down could be that your body's acid level is high and your pH level is low. How does acid enter your body? A cup of coffee, a sandwich, tap water, stress, and cell phones. Plus, your own body produces acid on a regular basis. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize the water you drink and raise your pH level. They promote more oxygen in your system, higher energy potential, and many other documented health benefits. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops is the least expensive and the best pH level product you can buy. Order AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for just $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, spelled AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615. That's 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health with pH Drops from AlkaVision.com.
What's better than Mountain House freeze-dried food? Buckets of Mountain House freeze-dried food. Now the freeze-dried guy introduces convenient, easy-to-store Mountain House survival buckets filled with our top-selling items. Each item is sealed in a Mylar-type pouch, and each pouch is neatly packed in clear buckets so you can easily see the contents inside. These Mountain House survival buckets come with well over a 25-year shelf life and are perfect for emergency preparedness, camping, backpacking, or at-home use. Go to freezedryguy.com. Click on freeze-dried foods and choose our 12-month, 6-month, 3-month, 1-month, or 7-day Mountain House Survival Bucket with 32 generous servings starting at just $69.95. And all orders to the lower 48 ship free. Call 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. 100% veteran-owned. The Freeze Dry Guy.
When natural disasters strike and the water supply is shut off, you won't panic because you have a CWR emergency water filter. CWR Environmental has been supplying emergency water filters worldwide for over 25 years. The difference? CWR emergency water filters are portable, easy to set up, and exceptional at removing bacteria, parasites, sediment, and many harmful contaminants, including chlorine and harmful microorganisms. Plus, they are NSF certified to assure performance. CWR emergency water filters can produce thousands of gallons of safe drinking water from any water source and come with a 5-year warranty and money-back guarantee. For a limited time, the filters are specially priced with free shipping. Call now, 800-444-3563. That's 800-444-3563. Or go to CWRSurvival.com. That's CWRSurvival.com. CWR Emergency Water Filters. Drinking water you can trust for when you need it most. CWRSurvival.com.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle-belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all. Holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call. It's the happiest
season. Welcome back to America tonight. Tail end of the show. Is it the happiest season of the marshmallows? Are you tired of listening to Christmas music already? If you are, oh, I feel sorry for you because, you know, you still have to listen for at least 20 more days, even beyond that.
There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
It's annoying. What's the most annoying Christmas song? I know I seem like a Scrooge, Rabah, Humbug, but what's just the one Christmas song you wish you could take out of the rotation? How about Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer? I know it was funny when it first came out or when they played every year, but it seems like it's played so many times, I can hardly stand it. I have to switch the station immediately if that comes on. And also another song that I that gets on my nerves, and maybe I just heard it too much, and this is completely different than the parody song of Reindeer and Grandma, but Santa Claus is Coming to Town. Oh, hearing that song, Santa Claus is Coming, oh, I just can't handle it. Now, the White Christmases and the Little Drummer Boy is one of my favorites, and of course it's one of my favorites. It's not played that much. Some of those other ones that are popular that still are played and played and played, and even if you look to some of the rock bands now or jazz or alternative that do their own version of the holiday music, all those songs are cool with me, but that song, yeah, I'm going to have to say, I think that needs to be ditched. Now, they have the people.
Merry Christmas, Uncle.
Humbug. Humbug.
Humbug.
Humbug.
Oh, are you calling me a Scrooge? Come on, Matt Johnson. You cannot possibly like listening to Christmas music.
I don't, but people are free to do what they want, I guess. And if they want to tune to the all Christmas stations, they can do that. I don't do that. But if somebody's going to want to do that, then go right ahead, I guess. We have two of them in my town here, so lots of options.
Yeah, I know in Dallas, Texas, they've got one they started playing before Thanksgiving in the beginning of November, which I thought was brutal.
That's how it is here, too, and I agree. I think you got to wait until after Thanksgiving, but personally, for me, I mean, a couple days before Christmas. That's when I can get into it, but other than that, I think it's just overdone. You're making a one-day holiday into a two-month event.
Yeah, and that's what it is. And once again, I'm going to blame it on the marketers because the idea is pump out the music, get people in the mood, and, you know, start talking about
Christmas.
Well,
they're trying to get people to spend money.
Yes.
That's what the whole end goal is.
Exactly. It's all about spending money, and we get further and further away from spending time with your family. What is Christmas about? What was Christmas, the Christmas holiday initially about? And we just get further and further away from that, I'm telling you. Dale is listening to us. Oh, I just dropped Dale. I did. Dale, if you call back, I promise we will go to you. He was waiting for
us. I'm going to get you a new mouse for Christmas.
I know. I need a new mouse. That's what I need. I need a new desktop and a new mouse. At the speed that the thing moves, it's like a computer, it seems, from the 80s. So we're talking about a plethora of different things. Of course, the fiscal cliff. And I mentioned that, you know, it's easy listening to the words of Tim Geithner, which I'm not a fan of Tim Geithner. So if you've listened to America Tonight for any length of time and you're not a first-timer here, just tuning in saying, oh, who's this broad? What is she talking about on my radio station? I said a long time ago that Tim Geithner was so the wrong choice for Secretary of the Treasury. Hey, listen, he made big bucks for Goldman. He knew what to do there. He knows his numbers, no doubt about it. But he has his personal numbers. And, you know, somebody could say, well, so what if somebody wants to run for a government office or get appointed to a government office and they made a gazillion dollars doing something else related to the wealth industry, related to stocks, that kind of stuff? Who cares? But then I think there's a missing link in that. And the missing link is that Geithner, it's easy for him to get hot under the collar and talk about these rates and stuff. Why? The reason why is because he doesn't have to, he's already got his money pushed aside. So if he has to pay a little bit more now, it's not the same thing as him paying on the heavy checks, the big checks that he used to get from Goldman Sachs. I mean, it's just not. It's easy if I've amassed a fortune and I paid a much lesser tax rate, and then now I'm doing something else and I realize, okay, so I'm going to get taxed that higher amount, but I'm also part of this game. I'm pushing this boulder down the road. Well, sure. So I'll make the compromise because I'm a millionaire. I've already got my money tucked away. I'm just saying. And there are some people, mostly legislators, who can look at things that way and say that because for them and many of the people, the like Nancy Pelosi, one of the wealthiest people in the Congress, but not the wealthiest, it's easier for them because they have it tucked away already, in other words. So if I'm a person representing you, and that's, you know, of course I can, and of course I can say, yes, raise that tax rate. No, it's not going to affect jobs. Because for me, I'm already backed up. And you can't help but play into the personal. I'm sorry, it does. Well, it's hilarious when people say, it's just like when the Supreme Court justices are, you know, getting confirmed. They go through the confirmation process. I love it when they say, can you be objective? Nobody's objective. Nobody's objective. I mean, let's be serious about it. That's just not the way it, that's just not the way it is. All right, let's go to David, who's listening to us in Georgia. Hey, David.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good, brother. What's on your mind?
Well, I mean, I just tuned in. I've never heard you before. I heard you through Pal Talk. But I heard you talking a little bit about, you know, Obama and the way things are going in this country, and it's really sad. It's funny, you were playing Christmas music in the background, and at the same time, your commercials were talking about, you know, how to stay alive pretty much at the end of the world.
Yeah, that's true. There is an irony in that, isn't there? Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, but I was thinking about, you know, as far as I didn't vote this year, and I the reason is that if I did vote, I would vote for a revolution.
Vote for a revolution. Yeah, yeah. What about a third party? One of the things that I kept saying is we need a third party, and you know, you could say, well, there were some people that were running, but nobody was going in that. Nobody was going in that direction with the Electoral College. I think in the future, David, we'll have that third party because we cannot sustain ourselves with the two-party system we have right now. It's not.
Exactly.
I think it's a logjam, and so there's choices here. Like you say, revolution. So what do you got? You got revolution. Go live somewhere else. We're all part of the disgruntled masses, so it's time to really get some strong people to push, thanks, David, to run the next time around. And there were a few good names. There were a few good people that came out, but not enough to push them over the top and not enough interest to push them over the top. Any thoughts on the show? Send them to me, americatonight.net.
We've got 3 hours left on this thing, and I can't drive and argue with you rules all at the same time?
Well, that's an awful lot of money for the stupidest idea I've ever heard.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Alley C. Why Alley C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Alley C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Alley C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Alley C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Alley C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Alley C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Alley C. For more information and to order Alley C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Alley C today.